The book of Joshua, chapter 20, and it is a short chapter. Most of the chapters in Joshua are longer, but this chapter is only 9 verses, so a short reading today from Joshua, chapter 20. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain, out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead, out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan, out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. Okay, we're thinking today of the city of Londonderry as the city of refuge. We've spoken to the boys and girls today about the flag on the arch outside. Number of flags there, of course, but one of them is the crimson flag, or the victory flag, as it's sometimes called. And thank God today we get the victory through the crimson blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was just reading that verse the other day, Revelation 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But back to the city as a city of refuge. Of course, this Saturday is the big day. It's the relief celebrations. And that's a good word, celebration. It is a time for celebration. Every true believer should celebrate what happened in 1689 when the city was relieved. And we today should give thanks for the liberty that has come down to us because of the courage of our forefathers in defending the city and in the mighty deliverance that God wrought. Gratitude for liberty. About 11 o'clock, I think it was up at the church, a few things to prepare for the service. Opened the doors of the church and I couldn't help but think, aren't we blessed to be able to walk in through those open doors? It'd be amazing if it was just once on a Sunday, but lo and behold, we can do it twice. We can go to 2 services on the Lord's Day, and we have perfect freedom and liberty to do so. There are some people in Ulster seem to think that this liberty just dropped out of the sky. No, it was won by our forefathers in 1688, 89, 90, during the Glorious Revolution. those freedoms that we cherish today, especially religious freedom. So thank God for the open doors today. The book of Revelation says, I have set before thee an open door. The Lord has given us an open door, and he says, no man can shut it. And no man can shut that door or the door of any church in Ulster unless the Lord permits him to do so. Oh, that the Lord would preserve our religious liberty, that we might continue to enjoy it, and that our children, our descendants, would enjoy it as well. City of Londonderry, a great city of refuge. Historians say that the population swelled to 30,000 because Protestant refugees from places like Lisburn and Antrim fled to the city for refuge. 1641 was an important year. It's a year, of course, that every true Protestant should remember. That was the year of the awful massacres. 23rd of October 1641, chosen by the enemies of our country. 23rd of October, of course, wasn't just plucked out of the sky by them. It was chosen specifically because it was the feast day of Saint Ignatius Loyola, who was a Jesuit priest. And that was the day that was chosen in 1641 for the slaughter of our Protestant forefathers. Do you know 100,000 were murdered in that massacre? Folks, these are things we need to remember. The reason we're mentioning 1641 is because at that time, many, many people flocked and fled to Londonderry for refuge. See, 1689, the period of the siege and the relief, that wasn't the only time when people fled to the city for refuge. So both in 1641 and in 1689, there were many, many of our forebears who fled to the city, to the maiden city as we call it, to the city whose walls were never breached, to the city of refuge. You know, as I thought about how Londonderry, how the walled city so close to us here in new buildings, how it became a city of refuge during the 1600s, I began to think about the cities of refuge in the Bible. We've read about them today, Joshua chapter 20. Very interesting to study these cities of refuge. Who were they for? Well, they were for people who were guilty of manslaughter. And these people could flee to the cities. There were six different cities that were allocated and appointed for cities of refuge. Look again there at Joshua chapter 20. Joshua 20 verse 2, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And it goes on to tell us down in verses 7 and 8 about the six cities of refuge, and it gives their different names. Cities of refuge for those who were guilty of manslaughter. You say, well, what's that got to do with us today? Well, you are guilty of manslaughter. I am guilty of manslaughter. Let me explain. You see, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary, he died because we put him there. Or to be more specific, our sins put him there. Our sins drove the nails into his hands and feet. It was our sins that drove the spear into his side. We nailed him to the cross. Yes, spiritually speaking, we are guilty of manslaughter. But praise God, today there is a place of refuge. A place of refuge for we who are guilty. Guilty, undeserving, hell-deserving sinners. God Almighty has provided a city of refuge, and it's not actually a city, it's a person. It's the Lord Jesus himself. You see, folks, the very one that we have nailed to the cross, the very one who was crucified for our sins, he is that city of refuge for our guilty souls. The eternal God is thy refuge. You know, that's a reference to the Savior, because he's the eternal God. During the past week, that's what we emphasized to the children, that the one who died on Calvary was the eternal God, the second person of the Trinity. He was divine. He had to be divine, because otherwise he could never save children or anybody else. I wonder, can you say that the eternal God is my refuge? Can you make it personal today? Yes, you who have been guilty of the manslaughter of the Son of God, I who have been guilty of the same, can we say that we have a refuge in him, that he is our refuge? It's wonderful to be able to say it. As we live on this earth with all of its temptations, all of its difficulties and heartaches, battling and fighting the world, the flesh and the devil, the enemies that we're facing on a daily basis, isn't it wonderful to be able to say that we have a refuge in Christ, our great high priest, who has died and risen again for us? Some other interesting points and details about these cities of refuge that were appointed for Israel. Let me just go through them as we finish today. These cities were accessible to the people. First of all, because of the distance. You see, no one in Israel at that time was more than 30 miles from a city of refuge. A relatively short distance to the city. And they could flee to the city for refuge and for safety. If you actually look on it on a map, and I mean that would be good to do this afternoon even, get a map of of Israel and look for the cities of refuge and look at their location, and there's three on one side of the River Jordan and three on the other side of the River Jordan, and they're spaced equally apart, an equal distance between them. It's almost, you would say, symmetrical on the map. And so as we think about our city as a city of refuge in 1688 and 1689, and how we talk about the River Foyle, we think of Joshua 20. We're talking about another river, the River Jordan, and on either side of the river there were places of refuge. The Lord Jesus is accessible to every one of us. Isn't that the gospel application? Just as the city of refuge was accessible to the Israelite in Joshua 20, Christ today is accessible to you and to me, to everyone in new buildings. Folks, aren't we blessed in Little Ulster with churches and mission halls on every street corner, you would say? I mean, Bibles galore, Bible bookshops galore, Bible apps on your phone galore. What did we do to deserve it? To deserve this amazing loving kindness of the Lord, that he would bless us in our little country, which, I mean, it's just a pinprick on the map of the world, but how blessed we are. I want to say, folks, I would not like to die out of Christ in Ulster and go to hell from Ulster out of Christ. Oh, he's accessible. Our prayer is that people would flee to him. John the Baptist said, flee from the wrath to come. And then came Jesus walking along the banks of the Jordan. You put the two together. Flee to him. Have you fled to him for refuge? It speaks in the book of Hebrews, of course, chapter 6, about those who have fled to the Savior for refuge. I invite you to do the same today. In fact, I don't just invite you, I plead with you to do the same. Last week, we were pleading with the children to flee to him. We weren't putting any pressure on them, by the way, just in case you think that's what we do. Those of you who were there and were helping, you know that we didn't. But we did certainly invite the children and encourage and urge the little ones to turn to Christ, to trust in him, for he alone can save. Oh, the accessibility of the Lord Jesus. Let me say something else about the cities of refuge. There were signs that were erected. Verse 3, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. Verse 9, flee thither. How could you flee to a place if you didn't know how to get there? There were obviously signs that were put up, and historians and Bible commentators make that clear. And on the sign was just one word, refuge. Refuge. I want to thank those of you who this past week have been signposts for the children. Those of you who helped with the workbooks. I mean, that was a great work, and I know that it wasn't easy because there's some nights the time was short, and in fact on Friday night we didn't even get to the workbooks, but a very important work. And even those few minutes that you had with the children each evening going through the workbooks, God bless you for being signposts to Jesus. Of course, that's the duty of every preacher. He's got to be a signpost to Christ. We've referred to John the Baptist already. He was a signpost to the Saviour. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Any preacher worth his salt is a signpost to Christ. If he's not a signpost to Christ, far better to get him out of the pulpit. A lot of pulpits today are occupied by apostates, by reprobates who should never be in a pulpit. You may have read about that Church of Ireland minister from County Tyrone who has apologized to the LGBT community for what Christians have done over the years and the attitude that Christians have had towards them. And he was actually parading in Belfast yesterday. By the way, the Ulster Unionist Party was parading as well with their perverted form of the Union flag, desecrating our country's great flag. But back to the pulpit. The pulpit's an important place. The word pulpit is only mentioned one time in the Bible. The book of Nehemiah speaks of a pulpit of wood. But just because it's only mentioned once in the Bible doesn't mean it's unimportant. You know, the word Calvary is only mentioned one time in the Bible. But I mean, what Christian would ever say that Calvary is unimportant? If I ever stop being a signpost to Jesus, you get me out of this pulpit. The maintenance of the roads that led to the cities of refuge, the roads had to be maintained so that people could flee or run. That's the idea. The idea is not of a person who has committed manslaughter, you know, just sort of dandering to one of these cities of refuge. The idea is that they're sprinting as fast as they can go, running for their life, because the avenger of blood is on their trail. And the roads had to be maintained if the individual was to get to the city of refuge. Get rid of the potholes, smooth out the rough places, make it a straight, level road to the city of refuge. The avenger of blood was on the tracks of the person who had committed the crime. The avenger of blood here, of course, speaks of the law of God. I know that some people interpret the avenger of blood here as Satan, the devil. I don't believe that's the case. Because, you see, the law of God demands our punishment. We have broken God's law again. We taught the children that last week. Some people say, Ten Commandments, That's bondage, that's Old Testament. No, the Ten Commandments have a purpose. The law of God has a purpose, and it is to show us that we are sinners. It's a mirror, a spiritual mirror. And before anyone will ever flee to Christ, they have to look in the mirror. Go to the mirror and see the, as the little hymn puts it, see the dirt upon my face. God's word shows to me how deeply I'm stained with sin, the avenger of blood. But oh, the person would flee from the avenger of blood to the city of refuge, because the roads were maintained in ancient Israel. Let me come to a conclusion. These cities of refuge were not only accessible, but they were elevated. Elevated. What do I mean by that? I mean up on a hill, up on a mountain, up high. Don't we thank God for the elevation of the city of Londonderry all those years ago when people during the siege fled to it? Don't we thank God for the people, the Protestants who were saved from the massacre in 1641 and again in 1688 and 89 from those who wanted to massacre them, that they were able to go up to the city of Derry and take refuge behind Derry's walls on that great fort, that elevated city? Well, when we think of the city of Derry that was elevated and became a refuge to those 30,000 refugees, we think of the cities of refuge in God's word. They were also elevated. Do I just pluck that out of the air? No, I get it from Joshua chapter 20. Go back there again. Look at verse 7. And they appointed Kedesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. Talks there at the end of verse 8 about Golan. You've all heard of the Golan Heights in Israel. Some of you may even have been to that part of the Holy Land on tour. The Golan Heights, up high. Each of these cities of refuge were elevated. You want the refuge, you've got to get up high, because the refuge is up high. Oh, isn't that the beauty of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, that the refuge is up high, because he's at God's right hand. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. And with this verse I finish today. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now notice this part. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And that's where he is today, by the way. And let puny man shake his fist in the face of Christ, but it'll not knock him off his position. He's at the right hand of God, and that's where he will always be until the day that the trumpet sounds and he returns again. But the wonderful message of the gospel today is that he's there for you, sinner friend. You can trust in him today. You can find in him a refuge. And then throughout the rest of your days, he will be a refuge for you day by day. And it's good to have a Christian friend to go to for encouragement, but there's no greater friend to go to than Jesus, our refuge. And when you're down at rock bottom, and I know that some of you have been there, you have been able to go to your refuge. We invite you to come to this wonderful Savior today. Isn't it wonderful in Joshua chapter 20? It speaks there of the death of the high priest. You know, if the high priest of Israel died when the manslayer was in the city of refuge, he could leave the city because he was no longer under threat. He was safe. Safe to return to his home city. Isn't it wonderful that because of the death of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, that we are safe and secure, and that all judgment has been done away with, for there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.